everybody, and welcome to Writing Easy, the podcast that takes the somewhat difficult task of writing and tries to make it a little easier. I am one of your hosts, Mary Mascari.
And I'm your other host, Melissa Long.
Melissa, I hear you have problems.
I've got problems. Well, I've got half problems because I've kind of found solutions to them, and I want to share them with all of our listening audience.
That's wonderful. And since I know what they are, I am very eager to hear these things too, because I think everyone has these problems. Most everyone has these problems.
Yes. A lot of writers have this problem, and that is, like, how do you network? Everybody says you've got to network, you've got to meet people, you've got to sell yourself, and it feels very intimidating, especially for writers who are often introverts.
Completely unnatural.
Right.
Like, if you're going to be a writer, it's someone who is going to be an introvert. Like, I don't want to talk to people. I make up my own people. That's why I do this.
Yes.
If I liked real people, I would not have to make up my own. But now that I have made up my own people, I still have to talk to goddamn real people. That's not fair.
It's not fair. It's awful. It's horrible. And it's scary. And you have to do it if you want to be successful.
You have to do it.
You got to do it.
In fact, I have a quote about this. Would you like to hear my quote?
I would love to hear your quote.
This is actually a quote about sales, but I think it applies both to just networking and selling yourself, but also to writing. And it's from a guy named Tom Hopkins, who does stuff about selling, you know, teaching people how to sell. And it's just really easy. It says, begin by always expecting good things to happen. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Very positive. Just assume it's going to be fine.
And it will. That's very... very law of attraction, like The Secret. That's very big out here in LA. It's like everybody's,
oh, I'm sure.
The universe and law of attraction, and you are what you put out, and it, you know, comes back to you. So I'm feeling that.
Nice. So what have you learned? What do you got for us?
Yeah.
Help us.
Lots of stuff. Well, so like we talked about earlier, the fear is that you don't know how to socially interact with people, or you don't enjoy it. It makes you awkward. For me, I always stumble with my words, because I like to write, because I like to be able to perfect my words. And
yeah.
I can't do that if you're sitting right beside me. I'm having a conversation.
Can you imagine, like, you're in the middle of a conversation, like, you know what, hold on, I want to revise that a little bit. Can we just do another draft of this conversation?
Let's start back. Let's start over. Right. I've got the perfect answer to your question now that I've Googled it.
I just had too many filler words in there, and my POV was shifting. It just wasn't right.
What would that look like if your POV was shifting?
Like, I don't know.
So
that would be weird.
Yes. So some of the things that I have learned is, one, like, I have come to accept that networking is not the sleazy car salesman or, like, door-to-door salesman approach of, like, you just taking from everybody and being oblivious to what others need. I think that we often have this idea that it's got to be this, like, we go to this cocktail party and, like, everybody's trying to sell something and not really caring. It's inauthentic. It feels fake and forced. And that's not actually networking, right? It's a really bad, crappy version of networking.
Yeah, I always have that image of a salesperson as just like, yeah, like a used car salesman or a mattress salesman. It's just like, hey, ha, hey, oh, ah.
Right.
And that's not what we're talking about. Or I have the other image I have is like the dorky fangirl, like, hello, would you like to read my book? Hey, it's my book. I wrote it. And yeah. And just being like horrible.
Hold up.
And like, oh my God. So those are the two specters that hang over me. I think your point is, yeah, we have to banish them. Those are not real.
Yes. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the opportunities that I've had to practice my networking and the things that I have learned, which will be good. And we'll give you some tips on things that you should avoid, because there's a lot. I mean, you can hear a lot of stories about networking and pitching gone wrong.
Yeah. And they're funny because it's such a stressful situation. But now you consider yourself an introvert, right?
I do. Yeah.
I'm kind of an ambivert. I can bake it for a little while. Yeah. But then I get tired.
Yeah.
Like when we were at residency at our master's program, it was this intensive thing, right? You're in classes all day and then with your people all night, and you're like talking, and it's so much social interaction. And by like 9 o'clock, I'm like, I can't people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go now and be alone under the covers.
Well, I think that is my first piece of advice to folks, is that interacting and networking feels different when you're surrounded by your tribe, when you're surrounded by people mm-hmm. who are also passionate about writing and stories and in this business, it's so much easier than being in a room full of complete strangers where you know you have nothing in common with them.
Yeah.
And you're worried about all kinds of things. Like, writers are fabulous people. Like, they're absolutely yeah. fabulous. And a lot of them get nervous and hate pitching and talking about themselves as well. So you share that common bond.
It's important to know. And that when you're networking, it's really more about just finding that common bond and not persuading anyone to do anything. You're not there to try to make, I mean, there are a pitch you are, but like, if you're just networking, it's just like, hey, fellow person, fellow writer, we've got this in common. And not, hey, be my best friend forever. And give me all of your money.
Give me all of your money. I, like, side story, I work for, a very, very, very rich person. And, like, has more money than I will probably ever see. And we were looking at, like, some of these, like, we get like all kinds of emails from people, and somebody had emailed him and was like, can you give me $300,000, please? I'd love to just talk about it. Like, that was it. That was the entire email. And then they wrote another email that was like, I'd really love to just like talk about my proposal for $300,000. There was no, it wasn't like, oh, invest into this business. It was just like, give me $300,000.
You got to admire their directness.
Yeah.
You know? You don't get what you don't ask for in this world.
Right. Yeah. So it's very, very interesting. But that is not a good pitch. And that is not good networking. You can't just randomly out of the blue with no context ask somebody for $300,000.
I mean, it won't work.
If you can, it won't work.
Yeah, it won't work. Well, cool. So do you want to talk mostly about networking or pitching? You want to do networking first and pitching? Because I think those are two separate things.
Yeah, I think they are two separate things. So let's talk about networking first and sort of mm-hmm. where and when and how you can network. Like, what are some tips that you can mm-hmm. do? So for me, one of the things that I have found really helpful, because I know that I hate cocktail parties and social mixers and anything that requires me to like mingle around with people. I hate that. I hate chit chat.
So hard.
But I love going to like panels and workshops. And I find that like that gives me structure to meet people who are, I know are interested in the same thing that I am interested in, and to strike up a conversation while we're waiting for something to start, or in reaction, in response to something that we've just seen and shared together. So I love going to cons for that reason, or going to panels. In LA, there are like panels on everything all the time, which is really great about being in a big city, because it's like anywhere from 10 to 30 bucks to go and attend, and you get access to showrunners and creative people, and then the audience is full of folks who are writers and producers and actors, mm-hmm. and you never know what kind of conversation you're going to strike up.
And I think, yeah, I think it's a really good point, is just to find your people, because these are your people. But also don't go into it expecting something to come out of it, if that makes sense. Like, it's, you're just there to meet people. You just be like, hey, we're all in this together, so that that relationship is there, so that later, if something comes up, they'll think of you, or you'll think of them.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't go to the panel thinking, ah, and now I will meet the person. This is like, it's like a social life, right? You don't go out to something, some social event thinking, and now I will meet my wife. You know, like that just doesn't happen. You know, you're just there to meet people. You're just there to kind of
have conversations, right? Like have a conversation. Do not go, oh, hey, would you like to read my script? Like when you first met somebody, that is very, very, very awkward.
Honestly, what I like to do is I like to kind of pretend that I am there to research them.
Mm.
So my point, like I'm coming to this, because this is something I used to do in my day job, is I would do, can't think of the word, sort of a sociology thing where you study people, you watch them, ethnographic study, that's what it's called. And you watch people and learn about how they behave and how they do in their natural environment. And sometimes you talk to them and you learn about, I did it in a IT context, so I would learn how they work so that I could better go back to the people who were making them software to say, here's what they do. It was fascinating. I still love to do it if I can. And so if you come to a networking event with the, like, pretending that you are there to do an ethnographic study. Like, you want to find out how these people tick. Who are these people? What are you doing? Why are you here? Tell me about this writing thing. How does it work? You know, like, not even thinking, not pretending that you don't know, but you want to know what their experience is. Like, how are you handling this? Because I don't know. Thinking of it as a fact-finding mission, that will have a couple different things. First of all, it takes the pressure off yourself, right? You don't have to come up with all the stuff to say at all. And it helps the other person because they don't have to come up with stuff to say. They have a question to answer. And now we have something going on. So it makes the social interaction go a lot better. It also, you show interest in people. You know, the way to be interesting is to show interest. So people like to talk about themselves. So, they'll be very grateful for you to ask them questions about. I mean, you're not going to grill them.
Right.
You know, you can't go like, so what's this? What did you do this? And then, but you don't, like, yeah, generally curious about how they are. You know, you're a writer. You need to learn about people. And this is a chance to do it even from a creative perspective. And then at the end, you know, then you'll find that you can start talking to them. You know, then they'll ask you questions back and you can come in. But ask questions.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at it, but it's a good thing to do.
Ask questions. Ask open-ended questions, not yes or no questions. And then usually they'll say something and you'll latch onto it. It'll be like, they'll mention tennis. And you're like, I love tennis. Or they'll mention this project and they'll say, oh, I write science fiction. And you're like, yes. And then you can use that to drive the rest of the conversation or to continue to think about different questions or share information about yourself. Yeah. But don't talk too much about yourself. I agree.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. You don't have to. Because that's the scary part, right? Is that you feel like I have to perform, right? Like I have to have good, funny, witty things to say and interesting. And you don't. You just have to be genuinely curious about the other person. I mean, like, that's How to Win Friends and Influence People, the Dale Carnegie book. Like, that's one of the first things, is have a genuine interest in the other person. And I can't tell you how much that works. And it's such a great cheat because you don't have to come up with anything. You just have to genuinely wonder, what's your story? I mean, I literally, one time I was at a place and I needed to make conversation. I literally asked the guy, so what's your story? And that was it. We were gone. He had all the stuff to say. I was listening, and interjecting. And it was a good conversation. I learned a lot about him. If he were someone that I were trying to schmooze with, I would have had a good schmooze.
Yeah.
So
that's a helpful thing. And then I would say too, know your surroundings and like pay attention to their like body cues. Because you can tell when somebody's not interested in talking or distracted, or hey, they're trying to start this like presentation and now you're making me late, or hey, I'm on my way to the bathroom, so like, can we wrap this up? Like, pay attention to the cues around you and like, be decent, be normal, don't act crazy.
Yeah, you don't have the energy that you want to take something from them, right? Because that's a very scary thing, you know. Yeah. It's like, gimme. If you have a gimme energy to you, that's very off-putting. And so you'll see, yeah. And when you're doing that, you won't notice that, like, you're standing in a bathroom. like I understand you're very passionate about what you're doing, but I do have to take a dump. You're so if you don't mind,
maybe not the right place.
Yeah. No. The best question for other writers is, "What are you writing?" So what are you writing?
I find that intimidating. And I have to prepare for that. Because otherwise I just ramble and then it becomes this like 20-minute long like diatribe of all these details of like, well, it was this project, but then it's this and da, 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 like, and they don't really care about all of the specifics. Like, there's nothing worse than listening to a pitch that like is so detailed that you can't follow it at all and it makes no sense and they're so ingrained in like trying to give you this.
I had that once as a friend, and we were writing in the car. And it was one of those things where he said, so what are you writing? And I had my little 2-line synopsis ready. And I was like, oh, it's this. When this happens, this, da, da, da.
Yeah.
Great. How about yours? And then the rest of the car ride was a beat by beat summary of that. And that's not good either. So if you are on the other side, if someone is doing an ethnographic study of you and asking you questions, you have to be curious too. It's like, well, here's mine. What's yours? Oh, and then hopefully you get a nice little ping pong match going on. And that is a good conversation. It feels really good.
Yes. And then do you use business cards? Like, do you carry them with you or exchange them?
I have, but all that really happened was that I wound up just being Facebook friends with them or following them on Twitter and then not ever remembering who they are. And that's something I need to work on. I need to work on keeping up relationships with people. you know, someone I met. Yeah, we had a great afternoon at this writer's workshop, and then I never spoke to them again.
Yeah. So that's another good step, though, right? Like, once you meet someone, like, find them on Facebook, find them on Twitter or Instagram, whatever social media is your drug of choice, and follow them or friend them, mm-hmm. or get their email so that you can make a note to, like, oh, check in with them in a month or see what they're doing and continue the conversation. Because otherwise it's not helpful. It's just one stranger that you met once. They're not going to remember mm-hmm. you. But if you continue that conversation after you've met, you have a better mm-hmm. chance of building some kind of relationship. And that's what you want.
Your objective needs to be just to have a pleasant conversation and then follow it up. Again, and not in a creepy way. It can't be like, I saw that you went on vacation. But it has to be more like, oh, hey, yeah, I noticed that you just got a new dog. I actually have this, know about this great dog food you should try. I don't know, it's pulling something out of my head. But, you know,
or just
deal with them.
Just, you know, follow them. Just like their, just like their post or, you know, add a comment. People don't comment.
Yeah, it sounds so easy, but it's, yeah.
I actually have been using Twitter again. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't for a very long time. And it's very interesting because I can follow other television writers, whether aspiring or already staffed in a room, and other showrunners are very transparent and on Twitter. And some folks are hiring. There's a big, like, agent thing going on right now. But a lot of people are using social media to make connections, introduce people to other people, and it's really fascinating. And so I've started following people and keeping lists and making notes of, like, oh, this person is in my city doing the thing that I'm doing, writing the same genre, and having conversations with them on social media. So, like, I'm building my network that way.
And if you know you're going to meet someone, take a minute to look at their social media.
Yes.
You know, look back and then, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with, like, if there's a specific person you want to talk to, nothing wrong with having a question ready that you know is going to be something that they're interested in. Because I did that once. After a Bare Naked Ladies show, I waited and met them, came around, and I had questions ready for each of them. And not like difficult questions, just like I had seen that Ed Robertson liked the book The World According to Garp. Mm-hmm. He'd said in an interview, oh, really, that's my favorite book. And I said, oh my God, I just read that book. And there's a scene where the guy cuts his finger off. And I said, that must have, like, been horrible to read as a guitarist. Because if you cut your finger off, that's a huge issue. He's like, yeah, no, it's terrible. I can't even, like, I don't play volleyball or anything. I can't, you know, take care of my fingers. So, like, and that was a conversation. I mean, nothing came of it, but it was a nice interaction.
So use social media. That's good.
Yeah.
Yes. Google is your friend. Just Google, you know, especially if, if you're going to a panel or an event and you know somebody's going to be there. Yeah. It's helpful to, like, read their bio. Look.
Yeah. And say, oh, I follow you on Twitter. I saw that. That's really, I liked that. That thing you did, that was good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is it? You have a cute cat. What kind of cat is it? Well, it's not a cat. Oops.
Okay. Right. Like, you can't.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. It's amazing. It looks like a cat.
So, yeah. Well, what about if you're doing a one-on-one pitch? Because that is very different than I'm networking in a conversation and talking about myself at a bar at the end of a long con, you know, mm-hmm. those casual things. Like, what happens when you are face-to-face with someone doing a pitch
and
there's no escape?
I love that. Personally, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
The reason I like pitching better than casual networking, or even better than query letters, first of all, they're there for that. That is why this person got in their car or got in a plane and came, is here. They want to hear people pitching. They want to hear this information. They want to find their new thing. So I know that I'm not imposing, because this is set. This is what we're supposed mm-hmm. to do. I also can answer questions, right? I can judge their reactions and say more information. You know, in a query, you have no idea. It's going so blind. You're like, is this what you want to know? But I can say, okay, here's my little spiel. And then, do you have any questions? And if they ask me a question, I can answer it. And then it's much better. Or I can just say, hey, is this something you're interested in? And if not, well, why not? What, you know, I have other, you know, we could just have a very frank conversation about the project without having to be coy about it. I can just be like, here's what I got. Is that good?
Yeah.
No, what don't you like about it? Oh, cool. Well, now I know. Thank you. That's good information. I love pitching. I would love to pitch more than any day.
I love pitching as well. I think it takes practice, but I think a mm-hmm. lot of people make the mistake of like, I have to write down this, like, again, this exhaustive beat by beat, like synopsis mm-hmm. of my work. And then I'm just going to go in there and recite it. And then it's going to be over and they're going to go yes or no. And like, that is not really ideally how a pitch should be done. There should be that conversation and the question and getting feedback and explaining things. It should feel natural. And I always got requests when I did pitches mm-hmm. for my books because I actually got more requests than I would fulfill. Like, my hard thing was, like, actually sending it. It wasn't, like, getting people
to because then you're like, oh, God, is this good enough? Yeah. Yeah.
That's another episode.
That's a whole other episode. Yeah.
But, yeah, it should be a conversation. And that means, like, you should have very concise sort of answers to the questions that you're anticipating and to what is your story about and what type of project is it, and mm-hmm. but not rattle on for 10 minutes straight without mm-hmm. giving them any kind of opportunity to ask a question.
Yeah, you do your little spiel and it, like, you know, three lines. Oh, this is a story where so-and-so does so-and-so. And when this happens, then she has to do this before she'll lose her thing.
Yes.
And then you wait. And it's silence is very scary. But then they will say, oh, that's interesting. What about what kind of this? How long is it? Where are you? Oh, okay. You know, and then you can actually, or if you forget to say something, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention this. I once got into an argument actually with an agent about my, because it was something where I was like, okay, well, this isn't going to happen. I could just talk to him. And he was telling me that something wasn't right. Like I said, oh, here's how this works. He's like, oh, that's not right. That's not how it should be. I'm like, no, it's good. This is the right way. And he's like, nah, I don't think so. I'm like, well, clearly you're not going to buy my thing. So let's just, whatever. But like, I have come in, you know, because I have more than one thing I've written.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to come in and say, hey, do you want time travel or historical fantasy or steampunk? Which would you like to hear? And they'll go, time travel. Great. Da-da-da-da-da. And they can go, okay, well, how about that other thing?
Yeah.
You know, you can have it ready. Or I had a pitch where I pitched something and the person explained to me why they didn't want it. Like, oh, this isn't selling right now. This isn't the thing. Like, okay.
It's good info. It's good info to have. Mm-hmm. It may or may not be right, but it's still good to know how your work is going to be perceived in the marketplace. And
I love it. You have to have a little preparation. You have to have your spiel ready. You have to not be completely freaked out. You have to not be drunk. But,
yeah, that's a good thing.
They like writers or they wouldn't be in this business.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. That is something you definitely have to remember. It's like they are there to buy stuff. They are looking for story. Mm-hmm. So it is like they're completely used to hearing all kinds of things, meeting people at all different stages of anxiety while they're doing their pitch. This is not new to them.
They're not. I mean, they're not going to be, they're not going to coddle you, but they're not out there to try to punk you.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't come all the way out here just to be like, ah, sucker. You know, like that was stupid. Like they're there hoping, like, oh boy, I'm going to sit down in this room all day. And I really hope that I come out of here with a really great book that I'm going to be able to sell. That's what I want. And then you have to come in going, I got it. That book you're looking for, here it is. I got it. You don't say that, but you think it in your head.
Yeah. You got to be confident. You got to do your power pose before you go in. The power pose, like the Superman pose or whatever.
Yeah, Wonder Woman pose, yeah. And I always laugh. I was like,
ha, yeah, it's even break the tension, relieve some.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. In LA, the thing that I have been surprised about the most is that you don't just do like pitch meetings. Like those are usually later in the process, or if you're an established writer and they're like, oh, we have this great book and we're looking for somebody to turn it into a movie, then you do mm-hmm. these pitches. But mostly what you're doing is actually what they call as generals, where you're just meeting with a studio or an executive, a manager or an agent, and or sometimes a showrunner, and you're just talking about yourself. And like, it's really intimidating because
hard.
You don't know what you're going in for. They're like, oh, I was just going to do a general meeting. And you basically do what we just said, is like you go be prepared to talk about yourself and your own story, but you also want to have brief, you know, one-liners or a couple of liners about the projects you're working on. And you want to have more than one because they're going to go, oh, well, what are you working on? And you need to know what you're working on, and they may be interested in, they may be like, what else? And so again, all of that preparation is going to be really helpful. But like, apparently you can do generals like 3 or 4 or 5 times before they'll be like, oh, you should come in and pitch this one thing, or oh, like, we actually want you to be a writer on the show. So it's very weird.
That is weird, but Hollywood is weird. That's not news.
Hollywood is crazy town. That's what they should call it. They should just say crazy town.
It's a strange way to do business. I don't understand. Like, this is your business model?
Well,
like, this is crazy, but it works. Whatever.
Yeah. And I understand the, like, with the showrunners, I understand it because they're going to be in a room with you for like 10 hours a day, like working on something very intensely. So you want to know the people and what they're going to draw from their own personal life to add to your story and your scripts. Like, they're contributing to something that you're doing. And I think if I was doing a novel, like, I wouldn't just pick somebody random to come in and work on my novel. I'd be very protective of that and be like, well, what do you have that can add to and enhance the quality of the story?
So how do you prepare for these things? How do you prepare for a general or for the, what do you have to do?
So I've been doing a lot of different research and practice, and there is an organization out here called Roadmap Writers, which does like these mock, well, they're not even mock general meetings. They like basically set you up with agents and managers who are there to help teach you how to do this. So every once in a while, they may make an offer to someone, but mostly it's like, you get to talk to a professional and they'll tell you how to do your pitch and what they liked and what they didn't like and help you perfect it. And one of the things that they have continually stressed is like, you have to have your own personal story. So like, think of yourself as a character in a film or a book. Like, what is your coming of age story? What is your transformation tale? And you need to be able to give them a couple of things that make you seem interesting, which as a writer, sometimes I'm like, I'm not interesting. Like, I write about interesting people. I don't do things like, but everybody has a story and you have to figure out how best to tell your own story.
Huh. I don't know what I would say.
Well, you know what you should do is you should dust off those journals that we wrote, that we started writing. Look at your life. So I think it was Carol Kirshner had this activity where she said, get an Excel sheet and mark off like every 5 years of your life and then come up with 3 to 5 sort of quick stories about that period. And you want to have like a quick, like sort of witty one-liner that will pique someone's interest. And then that will lead into the story that you want to tell. So like, that is one of the big pieces that I didn't really understand. I had a boss who used to do this and it drove me crazy, but he would always tell like the same joke at every intro conversation we had with folks. And it was my job to sort of follow him around and like take notes and like capture things. Yeah. But like, I was like, oh my God, if he tells this joke one more time. Now I realize like that was his icebreaker and it was his way to get them to ask him a question about his background that would be relevant to the conversation. So like, he knew how they were going to respond, and that's why he used that line every single time.
Nice.
And so like, that's the kind of thing you want to do, is like, I have a one line quippy sort of thing. Like, I don't know, I think one of the examples was I got kicked out of Girl Scouts for stealing something, or I don't remember what it was, but like something like, whoa, what tell me more. Like, and then you know, like, what are the interesting parts of that story that people are going to be like, oh, and then what? Or, oh, and then you write. Wow, that's amazing. I'm so glad you're here. I'm rooting for you.
Nice. Sounds like you're going to be like on the couch of a chat show. Like, this is, you got to have your stuff ready to talk to the host.
Right. That's exactly it. Just a mock interview for a late night TV show.
There you go.
Which I think in prep for those, don't they like the team gets like different stories and they're like, what stories do you want to talk about? Or he's going to ask you about this and not that. And
yeah, they prep it all. They do. I think what they have is someone from the show talks to them for like, you know, a long time and just gets a bunch of stuff. And then they pick out which stories they want them to tell. And then the host will prompt them for that.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, don't you think it's kind of strange that they always say, oh, did you take any vacations? And then suddenly they have this amazing story about their vacation. Like, I heard that you like chicken, and they have this great chicken story for some reason. The only Craig Ferguson didn't do that. Did you ever watch The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson?
Only occasionally, because I never was up late.
Yeah. No, me neither. We have TiVo. I'd watch it the next day. But he would never do that. He never bothered to research. He actually had the cards and would just tear them up and would just talk with them. And it was delightful. But I don't think everyone could do that.
Yeah. I think that would be much more intimidating.
Yeah.
On both ends. For me, like, I wouldn't be able to host an interview like that. And yeah. As a guest, I'd be a nervous wreck.
Yeah. I think that would be hard. But he's not doing that show anymore. So I guess we don't have to worry about that.
Well, but the interesting thing, though, is, like, I feel like we know that, like, we see those signs of, like, oh, they were prepped. Like, if you're in communications or marketing or writing, like, you know, like, oh, that didn't just happen naturally. You know all the behind-the-scenes tricks that, like, we do to make things look like they were perfect on their first time when, like, reality is, like, they're just not. That's the illusion of television. And it's kind of the illusion of novels where, like, we kind of make it look like, oh, we just spewed out this beautiful trilogy, which is not the case at all. So the key is to be prepped, but not make it look like you're prepped.
Right.
Which takes a lot of practice.
Yeah. So I think what's going to happen is next time I go get my hair done, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to practice. I'm going to have my pitch, all the stuff ready to talk. Because I always feel weird talking to the hairdresser. I don't know. Some people are good at this, but I was just like, oh, hello, human. What do I do? So I'll just prep. I'll have my story and I'll be witty and entertaining and
yeah, test drive it on low stakes situations where it doesn't matter if you bumble it up.
I think the key part with all this stuff is just to, if you can, try to have fun with it. Your life does not hinge on this. And if you screw up, it's not the end of the world. You do a billion of these, you're going to get better at it with time. It's a skill you practice.
I will echo that. Practice is so helpful. And like one of my tips is that I'm still trying to implement is to like embrace the fear fast. Don't go to an event and like wait and wait for the perfect moment and wait and wait, because then you end up either never doing it or it's like awkward because it's like the last 10 minutes of something. And like just do it really quickly as soon as you get there, and then it makes the rest of the event easier because you've already done it and you're like, oh, and I survived and it went really well, and then you can continue to have like different conversations with people. As opposed to carrying the anxiety. And if
it doesn't go well, do it again. Yeah. It's fine.
Do it again.
There's so many people. It's not like they're going to pass around stories about you. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, it's not middle school. Where if you do something awkward to one person at the party, everyone at the party starts whispering and like, oh my God. Right. Like they don't, nobody, it's different.
And don't stalk people. Don't try to sell your stuff in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. On the side of the road when somebody's car has car troubles. I heard that story last week.
Oh my God.
I'm like, there's a time and a place for everything. So like, again.
Yeah. Be professional.
Be professional.
Yeah.
Don't stalk anybody. Otherwise, you'll be great. You'll do great. Sell yourself.
You're gonna do fine. Yeah. We got this all worked out. Well, we'll see how this works out for us this week. We'll try to network some people.
Yes. I'm going to try and practice my story and have random conversations with strangers. We'll see how it goes. Actually, I'm headed somewhere this afternoon, so I'll use it there.
Excellent. Go get him, Tiger. I'm going to stay home and not do that. All right. Well, I think this is going to about do it for us. I think we've covered this, beat this topic into the ground. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to remind you guys that we have an Instagram account, Writing Easy Podcast. So follow that. We have a Twitter account, also Writing Easy Podcast. Follow that there, and I think we'll just have to see you next week, right? Should we wrap this up?
I think we should.
So remember, writing is hard.
So take it easy.
I've been Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long.
Bye, guys. Bye.